Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome to episode number 18, I believe.
Yes.
Today is the
30th
of
September.
It is still September for one more day. Tomorrow becomes October. Can you believe it's October?
No, I cannot believe it's October.
That is officially, I think, normally in the year would be the fourth quarter of the year. October is the beginning of the fourth quarter. It's hard to believe the year has gone by in the amount of time that it has, you know?
Yes.
Well, our last episode with you guys happened to be about 4 weeks ago or so. It was on the 31st of August. And at that point, we were sort of kind of in that transition period of out of summer, first weeks of school, kind of getting out of the way. We were starting up football season with the kids and their programs.
Both of them.
We were moving.
One in flag football, the other one in auxiliary, so Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, we have been keeping it busy, but a good busy, I think.
Full.
Very full. Yeah. I think we did talk about that terminology difference last time, that busy means one thing, as if you don't have enough time in your schedule. Full is a demonstration of intentionality.
Yes.
That I have been blessed with things that keep me engaged.
But very blessed.
Oh, man, I tell you, that is becoming more true and true every day. Just getting to wake up with a sense of purpose and understanding ways that you and I are interacting better.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be like a fine cheese getting better with age.
Yes, and hot tamales.
And hot tamales again, even though sometimes they backfire. You may have had a hot tamale reaction, I think.
I don't think it was the hot tamales. I think it might have been the bread.
I don't know what it was, but it sent you into a tizzy. And
hot tamales are pretty good.
It's pretty worked up about it. I mean, it's not easy to watch you go through a reaction that should probably validate an EpiPen and then not have an EpiPen. And like, here's a Benadryl, good luck. Jump in the shower and hose you down. I mean,
I have been having some allergic reactions to something.
So if you're out there and you happen to have unannounced allergic reactions to random foods at random times, let us know. Maybe we have something in common and we can figure out what the why is, but we should probably have that examined. Maybe.
Probably. In the meantime, I am enjoying my hot tamales.
You gotta pass the time somehow.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Chrissy, one of the things that I just can't keep enough of it inside right now, and I hope that this gives us enough content, and my suspicion believes that it will, is that over the past few weeks in particular, and then more so the past few months, there has been an increased emphasis in our home on positive thinking, maintaining positivity, and really being thankful for the blessings that exist all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean this from the, hey, you know, this is the 1980s, you know, self-help book, The Power of Positivity. I mean it from a very spiritual and biblical standpoint of, there is truly a bright side to almost everything, if not everything, but you have to have the discernment and the eyes to really see what that is.
Choose joy.
Choose joy. There you go. Choose joy. You have to choose joy, because if you don't, the world is going to be a boat anchor on you.
So I think so much has happened over this last month that kind of has gotten us to where we're at. And if you are at all involved in any kind of media of any sort, then you know a few weeks ago now, a gentleman by the name of Charlie Kirk was assassinated in one of his events. And up until that time, I saw some things online about this guy. But had no idea the depth of ministry that he was traveling around the world sharing with the younger generation. So I feel like that stirred some things within our home, within our marriage, within our family, opening up conversations that probably we haven't had. Just that idea of, are we in a place to be as bold as someone who was professing his faith and willing to die to share the gospel?
And, you know, I love that perspective, but I think one of the other things that you sort of came across as you began opening that up is it became more mainstream. You're looking at things, you're hearing things, you're noticing things, was his own words really came to fruition, though, in that not everybody is meant to be exactly like that.
That
not,
is exactly
not
correct.
Everybody is meant to be a very loud vocal mouthpiece on a stage with
right.
working to kind of quell some of the, well, we'll call them what they are, some of the lies of the world that people right. are buying into. And so
it was a multi-layered topic, because I think what I watched from the outside, not knowing who Charlie Kirk was, I didn't understand. I wasn't mourning the loss of someone who I grew to know through social media, like so many other of his followers were mourning this person who they followed and they looked up to, admired. I was watching the death of a person amplify the word of God, because now how many hundreds of thousands of people were now hearing the word and hearing scripture for the first time. And it's like the attempt to silence the word of God actually did the opposite. So there's that part of it. But then there's the other part is I think I spent probably a good week in nothing but Charlie Kirk reels were coming through my feeds. And yes, there were the ones that not everyone is meant to be on a stage in that kind of light, sharing the gospel. We all have our parts and pieces, but are we honing in on the gifts and talents that God has blessed us with and walking those out boldly and courageously, whatever they are?
But I think that really starts at the point of your everyday simple interactions and finding the ways at which you can find blessing and that you can find positivity at the very root level of your day.
Absolutely.
What am I thankful for today? How can I start my day finding parts, pieces, places that are going to be impactful? And then when you begin to realize I am extremely blessed, or we are extremely blessed, then it becomes an outward projection. It emanates from you. Mm-hmm. Your interactions with people, when you begin to connect and collide with others, what they see is not somebody that is dull and mundane and drawn down. They see somebody that is upbeat, rejoiceful, blissful, because they can't contain their own excitement just because life is good.
Yep.
And they ask questions, and then your questions become answers, and it becomes, well, this is why. Let me share this with you. So it's been a very powerful approach, and it sort of came on the bitter end of a bit of a disagreement, or a rather large disagreement between the two of us, in that I can probably be a pretty naturally negative person. I can gravitate towards that being an easy button for me. And yep. So often, I would bring home, especially coming out of, you know, a day away from you at work or whatever, and I would just dump. But it wasn't dumping like, hey, you're not going to believe this guy I got to talk to today, or this project ended that got completed, or whatever it may be. It was, oh, I got this and I got that, and this guy complained, or this thing fell short, or I missed a timeline. It was always the negative stuff. And at one point, I mean, you dug in real hard and you said, hey, I'm just going to have to be very real with you. This is only going to go two ways. You're either going to have to just find somewhere else to be you, because I can't handle you and the person that you are anymore, because your negativity is really bringing me down to a level that I don't know that I can hold my head up right now. It's so heavy. There's already enough heaviness in the world. And the one person that I depend on to be my friend and my shepherd within our home all you're doing is bringing me down. And it really changed my mindset because I realized the impact that I was having. What I thought I was doing in a quote unquote safe place between us was abusing that safe place, because I was not finding the security or creating an atmosphere of security. I was creating an atmosphere of chaos.
Yeah. And it was heavy.
And I think when we made that switch, when you were bold enough to give me the real, and I think I was honest enough to accept the criticism and
it took a minute.
Then, you know, put it into action, we have seen change. It wasn't like an overnight change. It was a little bit, and it had to become
I think God has been working in this area of our marriage for a lot of years. And I think I can go back to a lot of different spaces and places in time where we would have short spurts of this. But truthfully, this is probably one of the most consistent changes within our relationship. Like it's really, things have really gotten a lot better in our communication, how we deal with things, how we communicate about things. But
and let's define better for a second. Better doesn't mean that we aren't having disagreements.
No, for sure.
Better doesn't mean that we don't have little bitty snips like, ooh, I sort of kind of messed that one up. You know, it means that we are able to work with each other in a healthy way to express our own actions or reactions within that. And what I've seen more so, probably more in you than me, is self-analysis, self-awareness of, oh, you know, I didn't really do that well, and I'm here just to start over. Let's ask for forgiveness. Can we move on? And that is a huge step for anybody, but seeing it in you has been a very humbling position for me, because as the male figure or the leader, I mean, I guess I could go point out everything, but at some point that becomes both time consuming and also, if all you ever get from me is criticism or me pointing out the flaws, at some point it has a negative return too.
Right.
But when you become so self-aware of yourself and your environment to say, hey, I think I might have been able to handle that differently. And the same for myself. It allows us the opportunity to then take down the walls and the communication bridge happens. Because you initiated the first side of that, then I'm able to share maybe my feelings that would have otherwise been received with sort of kind of resistance. And we're able to work through it with patience and understanding. And the output is generally that you and I truly feel better on the other side of that.
Right.
We feel fulfilled because it met conflict resolution, it met communication, it met quality time, it met all of the metrics that fit within our relationship. And it was through an argument, you know, and it's kind of hard to think of it that way, but that is the honest truth of it, that we were able to still reach each other's, you know, love languages through something as simple as an argument.
Right.
So everything.
But in that word, that term argument, we were talking about this earlier this afternoon, and how I think when you say argument, in where we have been for so many years, an argument means there's been a blow up. There's heightened emotions, uncontrollable emotions. Whereas I feel like now we can kind of and what did you say earlier? An argument is where someone is
always gonna
battling
find a winner
to win
or loser. Yes.
Like, but in a discussion or in conflict or in conversation, it's two people are having to work together. You can't have a conversation by yourself. You can't have a discussion by yourself. So it's kind of like, I feel like we're redefining how to communicate with each other. But I also think that this isn't just us figuring this out. I feel like we're a part of this wonderful study right now. And it's currently the phase that we're in the book that we're in is about leading ourselves. And last week, week before last, the topic was emotional intelligence. And something that really stuck with me was allowing yourself to feel emotions But digging into yourself to really understand why you're feeling those emotions. Now, sometimes that evaluation can come pretty quick and you can be like, okay, I'm hungry. I'm hormonal. That's why I'm cranky right now. Or it can be, I've been triggered by something. I need to process this. It's going to take a little bit longer. And allowing yourself those moments to feel the feel, whatever that may be, but figure out why you're feeling that way. And it's helped me. Yeah, was it yesterday? Yesterday we went to Dothan.
We did.
And it was something as simple as, okay, hey babe, you want to ride with me to Dothan? I had ordered some pictures from Walgreens. The one here locally couldn't do it, so I had to go to Dothan.
I said yes.
Yes, of course you did. You were, of course. Yeah, I mean, it was sweet. I'm going to be home XYZ time. Yeah, let's go. So we did. Well, in my girl mind, I had already, you know, we were going to have dinner and go shopping and do all the things. And I never communicated any of that at all. Truth is, we had food here at the house that needed to be cooked, and it was the responsible thing to do is to cook dinner at home. And
it never crossed my mind. You said, I would like to go to pick up pictures. And I said, okay.
Yes.
So we did that. And then we returned back to our residence because yes. I enjoy the space that we live in and spending time with you here. We have a very relaxing home lately and I like being here.
Absolutely.
You know, for the longest time, not to detour that thought for a second, but for the longest time, our home was such a place of chaos, not the building, but just the environment that we stayed away.
Yeah.
We stayed engaged anywhere external because it meant that we didn't really have to interact. So, but now at home, I mean, we sit, we enjoy, it's peaceful.
Yep.
But anywho, so we come back home and you're right. On the way home, you were very kind of distant and removed and
not ugly.
You just didn't say nothing. So in your mind, and then you get home, you're like, hey, you know, I'm hungry. I've been hungry. I really had hoped that we were going to get food out. And I didn't have to do anything. I actually didn't even know there was a problem, if I'm being 100%. Your ability to process it internally was so good and so mature that I really didn't know there was a problem. I knew that maybe there was a little bit of a kink in the attitude, but it wasn't so much that I sensed this, like, oh, it's going to be a night. We just went on about our way. And then when we closed out the night, and after you had been fed, you're like, hey, listen, this was a deal.
I was having an internal temper tantrum.
I kind of wanted to do these things and I didn't get to do them.
And then, I didn't communicate them either.
And you admitted all of that surface level. This wasn't me pointing any fingers. I'm, oh, okay. I had no idea. I didn't realize we had
it. I was just being a girl. That's all it was.
But the progress that was gained in that was your emotional intelligence to understand where you were at in the situation. And then your ability to kind of take those thoughts of negativity captive,
yep.
filter, and say, I'm just going to keep this in a little bit. Let me simmer on this pot just a little bit longer because this doesn't need to come out. If it does, it's definitely not going to come out in the right way.
And I think this is what we have done for so many years with each other is that we have not allowed ourselves, we've not been mature enough in our emotional being to recognize what is happening right now? Because you've not done anything. You hadn't done a single thing other than
not
be able to read my mind. It's not even about feeding me. It was like, this is so silly. It was just me throwing a temper tantrum within myself because I was just being. Truth is, I had sat at home all day. I didn't have anything to do all day yesterday, which was nice. And I'm still learning how to enjoy days like that because last week was full to the brim. Last week was so full. So getting to Monday and being like, I have no appointments. I have no meetings. I have nothing to do. So I kind of just was like in my feels already because it's just, again, a new thing. And taking a breather just to relax and being okay with it. And we talked about that last night too, of not feeling guilty about having the white space and not feeling bad. So it's something that I'm still giving myself grace on, because I am so used to functioning in being kind of a slave to the calendar. So I'm still working through that. So I was just in this weird space of, and truth be told, my stomach is the size of a dime, and I really would have eaten two bites wherever we went anyways. It was just this expectation of, okay, let's go out, let's go shopping, let's do this, let's do that. Like, whatever it was just, it was an uncommunicated, unrealistic expectation of just, I don't know what. And I was just having a mood. And I'm thankful that we've gotten to a place where we can work through these things within ourselves. And it's no different than your days and maybe working with coworkers or, you know, people on projects that maybe don't always put you in the best place, and you figuring out how to sift through the junk before it comes home. Not that it's not bad or not that it's not, but if that's the only one piece of negativity in your day, there's 99% positivity in the rest of the day. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, and that's where, gosh, I just look forward to you getting home so we can talk, because the way God is using you right now is just, it's so wonderful to sit back and watch and how he's working in both of our lives.
Same. I agree. There's just a ton of change at hand and a lot of amazing things that are growing and shaping. And
yep.
And then we've got kids, and we're seeing the same thing in both of them. And I think that is coming at us more rapidly than we think. What was it? Not last weekend, but the weekend before, we had a bit of an outing with our middle one. And it was another college, I wouldn't call it a tour day, but it was a day that she got to go, and she was invited to go hang out with the school softball team to do, I guess the best way to describe it is almost an interview. It the way this coach does her recruiting process is more along the lines of, if you fit in with the team, if the girls accept you, then you're good in my book. That's kind of a deal. It is skill based, but it's also very much team cohesion based.
Yeah.
And so she got to spend some time, and it was one of those, we had to be respectful and kind of watch from afar for a moment. And we snuck a couple pictures in, made a few awkward stances across the sideline for a minute, and then kind of got the eye and said, yeah, okay, we gotta take a break. But we went into town, and town is this amazing, cute little town, and we parked in the square. And I really can't tell you the last time you and I have been out just gallivanting. Like,
yeah,
it's been a while since we've just like, hey, here we are in X, let's go. But we did. And we walked around. We looked at all the flowers that were in bloom. We read signs. We hit one, if not three, antique stores. We don't really antique, but
it was really cool, though.
We did, and we found little things here and there. We had a local pizza that was so different and yet so amazing all at the same time.
Found a tea shop.
You got another tattoo on a whim.
I did.
Not normally the recommended way to do tattoos, I know, especially not large pieces.
But it was amazing.
He really did an amazing job.
I'll go back.
Yeah. And then, of course, our child is extremely jealous because in the state of Georgia, you do have to be 18. And she was ready to go. And we're like, hey, it's not my rule. I don't have to say no. The state kind of says
that
no.
That is correct.
But wrapping that up, it was a great day. It was a great day to talk with her. It was a great day to understand, you know, where her mind is at. And it opened up a door for us to really see what are we doing? Because kind of jumping back to what you had brought up with some of the Charlie Kirk stuff, it has opened up the eyes to a lot of folks as to our educational institutions.
Yeah, what our kids are learning and being subjected to, in the big sense of,
it's not knocking anything.
No.
It's just saying that you're gonna pay to go somewhere, and if you're gonna pay to go somewhere, shouldn't you really invest in what that institution stands for and why?
Well, I think any institution, I mean, I went to a Christian school through high school. And it's like the idea that, oh, the Christian school, it's all good kids. And it's like, oh, well, so, I mean, not.
Were you not a good kid?
No, I wasn't. So all of that aside, I think that we're raising our kids with a foundation that we hope that as they spread their wings and fly, that they will be leaders and they will be strong enough in their faith and what they know to be true, so that as they're making their own decisions, that they're founded on a belief system that I hope is their foundation. I think that they're going to grow up and make decisions on their own, but I do think that really evaluating school systems and where we're investing in our children, it is really important. But I also think we need to know our kids, because every child is different. So at big schools, small schools, I think that both of our kids, both of the two young ones, are going to learn very differently in different settings. And I think they're going to thrive differently in different settings. But I do think it's very important to have a well-balanced picture of what our children are looking for. And for Maddie, I think that she is just looking for a well-rounded picture, not just academics or not just sports or not just spiritual growth. This school is an opportunity for her to grow in all the areas. Whereas Olivia, I think, is looking for something a bit different. You know, she's looking to go to school for a long time for a career that does require a lot of schooling. But I think there's some really fun things that she's interested in trying too. So I think that she can accomplish that possibly at a bigger school. Whereas Maddie, I think, is going to thrive in the smaller environment. It's nothing, not that one way is right, one way is wrong. It's just the difference in our children and trusting that God has them and God is leading them in the right place. I think we have visited this area with Maddie a few times now, and it has just come with so much peace. And I think we both feel like God has led us to this area for her. And I really think it's going to be a great opportunity for her. I think she's going to really excel and grow, and I just feel at peace that God's going to enter into that space with her, and she's going to blossom.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's nice to see some of the growth points, because one of the parts that we have been at it with them in is some of that positivity, in that, you know, you guys both have leadership roles in your organizations within school. You guys both have places of impact in the earthly world and in the spiritual world. And you've both been called to use your gifts and your talents to reach those that are around you. And if you find yourself becoming or being the person that's always complaining or negative, you will find yourself alone very quickly, because people aren't right. attracted to that.
Right.
People are attracted to drama. There's no doubt about that. But it's not the attraction that you want.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, when you have somebody in a room that is just overtly positive and joy being and life giving, they shine like a beacon. And your eyes become fixed and gazed on their spirit, to where you draw close to them because you want to get close to that light. And then when you begin to realize the source of that light is the Holy Spirit, the source of that light is the light, capital L light.
Yep.
It clicks real quick, and you guys, I see. I understand where your joy comes from. I understand where your peace comes from. I understand why you can see a half glass full everywhere you go, because you are working on a blessing abundance right now.
So if you know, let's say we have people listening right now that maybe they're in a season where they just don't They don't know where to find that joy. They don't know how to accomplish that. What would you say is would be a step that somebody could take to find that joy?
So I see what you did there. I feel like you took the little tee out and you put the little ball on there for me, and it's my time to swing away. I love that.
Listen, I just feel like we've been talking so much about ourselves and sharing about our kids. And I think at the end of the day, I don't ever want to forget why God placed this podcast on our hearts.
Yeah,
and it's really to share and encourage
practical life applications that we personally go through and live.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So to your question, what is getting me where I'm going in that particular avenue? So I would say it maybe as a month and a half ago, not that long ago, I ran across a product. It's a book, a journal of sorts. It's called a Kairos, and that's K-A-I-R-O-S. There's a multitude of ways to do it, but the essential principle behind it is that it is a little more complex than a journal in that at the very first portion of it, on your first day, you pick a Bible verse and you write that in. And then the next column that is set out for you is you have to pick three things that you're grateful for.
Okay.
The next portion of that is you write down a prayer or things that you would like to pray for. And then when you go to the next section, it is where are you at in your spirituality? So what are you reading about in the Bible, kind of a thing? Where are you at in that? And then at the very bottom is your daily recap. So you come back to it.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of what it looks like full circle. But to answer your question more specifically, getting to the positive things or the things I'm grateful for. When I first started out, it was very easy to list those three things. Thank you, God, for a house. Thank you, God, for a job. Thank you, God, for my family and my kids. You know, I could get pretty good, but they were very surface level things.
Right.
No, not that I was not thankful or grateful, but they were very easy to get to. But then you start running out of things that are simple.
Right.
And you have to start really digging in. It's like, okay, I got to put three things in here because that's what it is. And it begins to turn your mind a little bit. And you try to time it at the beginning of your day in your quiet time. So then I begin thinking about, God, I'm thankful for conflict resolution in the smallest of ways of being able to just have an open conversation with my spouse and something small and not have it being a blow up. And so then because you're getting deeper and deeper and deeper, your eyes are now focusing on things in such a pinpoint way of gratitude and goodness that you can't help but see the gratitude and goodness consistently. Mm-hmm. So when you find yourself in a point of conflict or negativity, you're already conditioning your brain to understand and process the finite details of gratitude, and you're training that first. And because you're consistently training that first, it truly impacts the rest of my day.
And your default isn't anger.
It's not. It's, wait a second, let me just take a step back from this. What can I extract from this that is good? Mm-hmm. There's goodness in everything, but you do sometimes have to work to find it.
Yep.
But when you are willing to put in that work, you are going to find it.
So let's go back a little bit to when you found that book, because I believe that you found that book in preparation for a small group that you were working towards building as well, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
It was. We had two things at one time. It was our mid-year summer week of prayer that we did. It was the first week I got to put that into practice. Yep. It was an excellent time.
Oh, yeah.
I got to start it in a point that we were very spiritually engulfed. You know,
you were very involved that week. I remember that being I always love our weeks of prayer, and we do the 21 days of prayer at the beginning of the year, but we always start the school year out with a week of prayer. And this year you were much more spiritually involved than I feel like God was just really moving in you stirring and sparking things. And if I had to go back, that's probably when the change really started happening within.
Well, I got very, very intentional with what I was asking for.
Mm-hmm.
We had a series of sermons weeks and weeks and weeks before that were amazing and uplifting. And it was centered around what are you asking for? Are you preparing yourself for the blessing? So, okay, you ask for something great to happen, but have you prepared? What have you done on your side? Yeah. Is God not answering because he's not answering? Or is he waiting for the vessel so that he can fill it? Mm-hmm. And then we transition to so many of our new or our updated church core values, mm-hmm. and how we center ourselves around those. And it just, so now I'm attaching myself to so much of these amazing spiritual fillers. And then we go into this week of prayer. And you're right, it was very intentional. Mm-hmm. And I think for the first time in a long time, I was genuine enough with myself to let the walls down and allow God to come in and move through my spirit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't moving in my atmosphere. It was moving in my spirit. And, you know, part of that was spending some of that quiet time in that moment.
Yeah.
Going through these writings of I'm going to write down what I'm asking for. And at first I sort of had this idea that, okay, I'm in the right place. I'm feeling the feels. So if I write it down or if I pray it right now, it's going to happen. I'm going to see this. And if I'm being honest with you, weeks went by and I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that life was terrible. It's just the things I was asking for, I wasn't getting. And so I began to continue to ask, well, am I asking for the right things? Is my spirit ready or developed for what it is that I'm asking? I mean, what's off here?
Yeah.
God's not off. We know that's not the problem.
Right.
So it's got to be somewhere in me. So then I began to change more about me and what I was asking for, or specifically how I was asking for it. Mm-hmm. And as I changed so much about what I was asking for, the little things started coming in, and not in the ways that you would think. Because again, when I'm asking for myself, here's a little bit of a raw transparency. I'm asking for an intimate relationship with my spouse in the context of I want to feel close to her. I want to feel like I am her best friend inside and out in all ways because I just haven't felt close to her. And I'm not seeing that. But then you come and we have breakthrough moments like, hey, listen, bro, if you cannot find a way to drop the negativity, like we're going to have to figure something out because you can't do it. While that doesn't sound like a prayer answered, it was legitimately probably the most catapulting prayer answered I could have ever asked for. It did not come in the way my mind would have processed an answered prayer. But the outcome from that, the process from that, it wasn't that you changed in that moment. I might have been asking God, change my wife or change our relationship. Mm-hmm. The piece that he was waiting for me to change was my heart. He needed me to be able to come to you at a place to hear that message without a spirit of offense, to be able to understand, I get it. I now understand and see what it is that you're saying. And more so, he made me so hypersensitive to negativity that I can't hardly listen to it right now. If I'm around people, I'm attunely aware to it more so than I ever have been. And it becomes heavy on me. So much so that I said not long ago, I said, sweetheart, I have this over here. And it's if this was ever me, and I know it was, mm-hmm. I am so sorry for me being that level of heaviness on you. Yep. And so it was an answered prayer to the T of what was asked for. Yep. Just it did not follow the road that I was looking for. Yep. Because I did not prepare myself for the path that he had already constructed. He had already made the path. He had already marched my steps. He had already set them in motion. But I had to come to a place with him,
yep,
to be the vessel that was prepared to be poured into.
What I think is even more amazing is as I'm watching you grow and I'm on the sidelines, I'm seeing how God is placing people in your life and you in theirs to set that same trajectory of change within these relationships. And it's like, it's God brings us through and walks this testimony with us. And entrusts us with battles and entrusts us with situations that we're going to go through in our life, knowing that we are going to be a vessel for change in someone else. We are going to just be a conduit for someone else to find Jesus through us and through what God is doing in us. And I think it's really cool to see the spaces and the places where you are kind of having to step back, and we can kind of dive into conversations a bit deeper to be like, all right, babe, what are you doing? I can see that you can see the surface issues. What is it that you can share about you to help others combat some of these same seasons? And I think you have so many men around you that are wonderful, God-fearing men that I know you are pouring into, and you can share this growth and your testimony of change and your testimony of growth with them to also promote these same kind of changes. And it's really exciting to watch and see just how God's using you. I enjoy, we were on our way to small group not long ago. I want to say it was last week, week before last. And I had asked you a question, and the answer that came out was just so Holy Spirit filled. And it was like, whoa, where did that come from? And it was just a moment for me to just sit back and kind of like, it was an answered prayer for me, because I have prayed for so long for us to have that conversation, for us to have that place of being able to have spiritual depth within our marriage. And I think we've struggled with that. We've struggled putting God first in our own personal lives, but then in our marriage, relying on God to be the number one. And I feel like we are slowly but surely, there's not a series of right ways of doing things. Everybody's life is different. But I feel like we're figuring things out, and our home is peaceful and our relationships are peaceful. And it doesn't mean that we don't fall short. We're still going to have moments of falling short. I had a moment last week of, you know, being not nice to someone, and a great friend that it was in a moment of emotional ick, and I didn't control it very well. And I quickly apologized and I quickly moved through, and praise God that this friendship is full of grace and love and understanding and forgiveness. But we all fall short. We all fall short, but we're all a work in progress.
Constantly.
Yes. Yes. So for anybody listening, these are great steps and great ways to implement and find ways to stay positive and focus on gratitude.
It will change your perspective. And if you find yourself in a place and you said, hey, I do feel like I'm doing the right things. I'm genuine with my spirit. I'm genuine with my disciplines. I'm genuine with where I'm at, but I still don't feel like God hears me or that he's hearing me. I can assure you with all things that I know to be true, that it is never a matter of God hearing you.
Yeah.
He understands the needs and the desires of your heart before you even speak them with your lips. But again, so many times I think we try to frame them in the way that we believe is the box that we want them to fit in.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's probably, you know, sitting to the side just a little bit saying, you're almost there. You're almost there. Hang in there with me just a little bit. I've just about shaped this right in your life, and then this will come.
But it's preparing. I think there was a message that our pastor preached a message not long ago about the soil. What is our soil like? Like we can share the word and we can plant seeds in all of these different areas. But when I'm hearing the word and God's word is coming into me, what does my soil look like? Am I hard as a rock? Is my heart hard as stone? Or is it soft and tilled up and ready for all of the seeds to be planted? How am I receiving God's word? And how is my heart and what is overflowing out of it? And we have to be ready. We have to prepare our hearts. We have to forgive. We have to soften ourselves so that when God is blessing us, we're fertile ground.
And it's kind of funny. I didn't really think about it until right this second, but and I don't claim to be a farmer, but I know a little bit about making things grow. And what is one of the number one fertilizers and enhancers of growth that exists?
Manure.
So you're telling me that if I want positive growth out of my garden or my crops, that I'm going to go put the junk, the waste, the crap on it, and it's somehow going to make it better.
Yeah.
Well, isn't life not that way? It's like you can't just remove the junk and assume it's all gone. You can't wipe it away like it never happened.
No, but you can till it up.
You can turn it up in there. You can make it a part of the fertile side. And between those two things, that interaction between the junk that is us, we are the junk, we're the human, mm-hmm. but then we have that perfected spirit of God that lives within us.
Yep.
That is that fertile soil. And when you put those two, he's like, I'll take you just like you are.
Yep.
I don't need you to refine yourself and then get to me. You let me do that. You just come, you just sit, I'll do the rest. If you'll let me do that.
And it's the surrender. It's the surrender in saying, I am not perfect. I know that I am going to fall short of the glory of God, but I know his mercies are new every day. And I'm going to have grace tomorrow. And it's recognizing, it's not being a turd every single day and being like, oh, God forgives me. It is genuinely doing the best that we can, trying the best that we can. When we are feeling convicted, we apologize and we repent and we turn from those ways. But then we go back to doing the things that we know we're supposed to be doing, and we try hard and we forgive ourselves and we have grace for ourselves. But you know, if there is anybody listening and they just if you feel hopeless or you feel like you don't know which way to go, just start your day looking at one good thing.
Start it. Use that gratitude principle.
Go to bed tonight and think of the one great thing that happened in your day today and focus on that. Focus on the goodness. And maybe it is just one day. And maybe before you know it, you've gone down 2 days, 3 days, 7 days, and you're finding multiple things to be grateful for. And you're finding multiple places in your life that is positive, and you can see where God's moving and God's growing you and your family, your marriage, friendships, relationships with loved ones, whatever that may be. Just start one day at a time. Finding the littlest of things to be grateful for and being consistent. I think that's where we just talked about this recently within the last few days of how being obedient doesn't always feel good. Sometimes it really stinks and it's hard. But when you're consistent in your obedience, when you're consistent in your surrender, when you're consistent in your gratitude, when you're consistent in each and every place of your life, that's when the habits are forming. That's when the heart is changing, walls are breaking, and you feel the softening coming.
I love it. I think we have a good amount of us that's out, but I know we love to end with prayer time, because this truly is the connection. This is when I know that some of us can feel the closest to our Maker,
absolutely,
to God when we pray, because it really is the highest form of just genuine surrender to say, hey, I'm going to talk to the most almighty being that exists. And no matter how many people worldwide are praying at this exact second, somehow he still hears me intimately. It still blows my mind.
It's pretty amazing.
I know. It is pretty amazing. I think I'm going to lead us in prayer this go round.
I love it.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in a place of gratitude. God, we are so thankful for the presence that you bring to our environment, to the presence that you bring to our friendships and our worship. God, we're thankful that we get to breathe each and every day. God, I pray that as this message goes out to the one that hears it, to the hundred that hear it, how many ever, God, that you will give them a spirit right now of grace, a spirit of encouragement, God, and a spirit to drive forward and continue to try new things, God, and to try to see that positive role. God, you give us so much to be grateful for.
Yes,
and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to overlay that over each and every one of us.
Yes.
And God, when we've struggled to do that, Lord, help give us the strength to keep going anyway. And when it's hard, help us to dig in. Help us to believe a little bit more, God. Bring all of your majesty and your glory down to our level that we may be able to see you and feel you, God. For the couples that are listening, God, we pray for strong marriages.
Yes.
That would grow and thrive and just become unified across.
Yes.
For the parents that are shepherding their children, God, we pray that they would lead them well by example, and that they would just absolutely run with fervor and faith forward.
Yes.
For the generations that are in the world and those that are coming, God, we pray right now that the revival that seems to be hitting, God,
yes,
that you will ignite it, that it would become usable at every single way, God, that every person, every politician, every anything that has a place in this world, God, that you would give them the ability to be a beacon of light and of hope for you, God.
Yes, Jesus.
We see you moving.
Yes.
We see a world that is hungry for something more, God, and you are that more. You are that place, God. You are that portion that they need. And we pray, God, that our world would see through our examples, through our faithfulness, through our outward embodiment of your spirit, God, that when they do look to us, they can't help but see you.
Yes.
Because you are what is coming out of us. And God, we are just so thankful to be a part of this amazing journey that you have each of us on.
Yes.
We pray for healing and we pray for hope, God, and we thank you for being with us today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I think that was a pretty good cup, Dale.
I think that was a good cup, Dale.
And if you don't know the reference,
go watch radio.
Go watch radio. That was a good cup. Until the next time, guys, we always appreciate you spending a little time with us. We love you.
Yes.
And we can't wait to the next one.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.